You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Jacob Tyler reporting for American Free Press. I'm on the phone here with Pastor Chuck Baldwin and interviewing him for an article that we are printing in our publication. And Mr. Baldwin, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners and readers?
Well, for those who may not know, I've been a pastor for over 40 years now. I'm married to one woman for over 40 years. We have three children and nine grandchildren. I have a nationally syndicated radio talk show for over 8 years. I write a nationally syndicated column, which is read by hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And I also ran for president of the United States on the Constitution Party in 2008. During that campaign, Congressman Ron Paul publicly endorsed me. And in 2010, I moved from Florida to Montana, my entire family and I, and I'm now pastor of Liberty Fellowship here in Kalispell, Montana.
So as a pastor and a patriot, your reputation and credentials certainly speak for themselves. The subject of this interview is dealing specifically with the SPLC, an organization which just about anyone who's logged any time in the trenches for the cause of truth whatsoever has come to be familiar with. And you yourself are certainly no exception to this with a number of recent attacks they have launched on you. And that's the subject of the interview we're conducting here today. So, naturally, we know that this is routine behavior for the SPLC, and they've been at this for a very long time. But when was your first run-in with this organization?
I guess the first run-in would have been when I was still pastoring in Florida. I'm not sure of the date. It probably would have been pre-2008, so it might have been 2007 or something of that nature. A deputy sheriff came by my office and asked me to come out and see something in his squad car, and when I went out, he showed me his computer. And on the computer was a report that had been issued to one law enforcement personnel that had come through the fusion centers, which are sent out nationwide to the local and state police agencies, which identified myself and another man, a preacher, a friend of mine that happened to be speaking at our church at the time, Dr. Greg Dixon from Indianapolis, Indiana. And we were both identified on a watch list as potential government extremists and, you know, radical right and that kind of verbiage. So that would have been my first personal introduction to the SPLC.
What is it exactly that you think puts you on their radar as, you know, this quote-unquote hateful figure?
Well, I think as you've already alluded in some of your comments earlier, that anyone who speaks out or has any kind of a public platform or public notoriety, who speaks out on the Constitution, who speaks out on the founding fathers and the sentiments of our documents and principles that founded our country, anyone who is in any way influential in that cause is going to make the radar of the SPLC, it seems.
One of the things that's interesting to note in regards to the SPLC is that its founder, Morris Dees, has a bit of a reputation himself. Not everyone is aware of this, but certain individuals over time have conducted a lot of research into Morris Dees, and a lot of things have come out over the years about that are indicative of a pretty sweeping level, shocking even, level of corruption on his own part which makes the activities and the focal point of the SPLC all the more galling. I wondered if you'd like to comment on that, or if you were aware of any of that yourself.
Well, I've heard about that. I've read a little bit about some of that that you're alluding to. To be honest with you, I haven't delved into it. I haven't looked at it at length. And I don't really need to. It really doesn't matter to me what kind of a past he has. I wouldn't care if he was pure as the driven snow in his past personal dealings, etc. The fact is, what he's doing with his organization it speaks for itself. And what he's doing is trying to destroy, by virtue of character assassination, implication, association, anyone that his organization finds to be outside the boundaries of what they deem as politically acceptable. So, you know, to me, it's just a plain matter of what the organization is doing and what they continue to do and what they've continued to do against me. The experience I had back in 2007 or whatever was just the first. There's been a long trail of attacks against me by the SPLC, even up into including this year. So, you know, this is an ongoing, I think, calculated activity by the SPLC. And to me, I'm not really interested in the individual pluses or minuses of what he does. What the SPLC, the actions of the SPLC speak for themselves, and that's what I think is most important in this discussion.
For those who might not be familiar with it in particular, what were these latest? I know anyone can go on Google and everything and look up a lot of the history of this, but what are these latest accusations they're leveling against you?
Okay, well, let me kind of take you through a chronology of events. The first one I told you about just a moment ago, I was still in Florida, and the deputy sheriff came by and showed me what was on his computer screen. Then, in 2009, this was after I had run for president of the Constitution Party, the MIAC, Missouri State Police, had put out MIAC report, Missouri Information Analysis Center, was sent statewide. They used an SPLC/DHS Fusion Center report to warn Missouri law enforcement officers to watch out for vehicles that had bumper stickers of Ron Paul, Bob Barr, and me, and that such drivers should be suspected of being anti-government extremists. Ron Paul, Bob Barr, and myself quickly wrote a strongly worded letter of protest to the state of Missouri, and thousands of people across the country likewise found out about it, sent letters, emails, phone calls, demanding they recant their slanderous accusations. And the state of Missouri never recanted, but it did take down the report and reassign, quote-unquote, the man who headed the agency that disseminated the report. But that showed you just how influential the SPLC was. I don't think they're near as influential now as they were, but the federal, state, and local police agencies, as well as national and local police, had given the propagandist SPLC a wide range of opportunity to put out their attacks against people that they didn't like, and then the police agencies, through the DHS and fusion centers across the country, they would put them in the hands of local state law enforcement. I mean, that's pretty incredible that a private nonprofit organization would be able to have that kind of influence. Since then, thankfully, most of the federal agencies have stopped dealing with the SPLC, and I understand here over the last couple of weeks, even the DOD has stopped their association with the SPLC because of their tainted, their slanderous, biased, reports that they would disseminate, etc. But up until just recently, this is the kind of influence they've had. So that was in 2009, and that became, of course, a national event In 2010, after I moved to Montana, another deputy sheriff showed me his vehicle computer, and actually wasn't a computer, it was actually a printed copy, of a memo that had been released by a local police lieutenant to the local police around the area, placing me again on a watch list. And much more of the information had come from DHS, the Fusion Center, and the SPLC. And on that occasion, I had an opportunity to meet with the lieutenant. I showed him my honorary deputy sheriff's badge that I had received from the sheriff in Escambia County, Florida. When I was there, I rehearsed for them my record as to being pro law enforcement and law and order and et cetera, and explained, what was going on with the SPLC. And I would like to think that maybe opened his eyes a little bit to the reality of what the SPLC was all about. That was in 2010. And then, Jacob, in 2011, I was a target of another featured attack by the SPLC soon after we started our non-501c3 Liberty Fellowship here in the Flathead Valley. I was called an extremist, and I was lumped in with white supremacists and neo-Nazis and that kind of thing, which is what they commonly do. The problem is I've traveled nearly a million miles across the continental United States, and everywhere I've gone in local communities, I've found that these accusations trail me, and, reporters are always asking me about these accusations, and the source is always the SPLC. So, no matter where I've gone, I've found, the media ready to regurgitate the accusations of the SPLC nationwide. And, of course, after I came here, I ran into it again. The most recent example was this past, I think it was April of this year, 2017, a newspaper in Idaho, the Statesman in Boise, put out a column in which the reporter just, regurgitated an SPLC accusation that Liberty Fellowship is, the tenders of the Liberty Fellowship are neo-Nazis. Another, unfounded accusation. They didn't call me to check the reliability of that or to get a response. They didn't call us in any way. They just put that accusation from the SPLC in the paper. And, of course, I filed a letter of protest demanding that they recant. I know hundreds of people that contacted the paper and told them how unfair and how biased and so untruthful it was. But the newspaper, to my knowledge, has never recanted in any shape, manner, or form. But this is, again, an ongoing assault of the SPLC against me. And not just me, but many, many others who speak out for constitutional government, who speak out for the principles of the founding fathers, et cetera. So this has been my experience for over the last decade.
As Americans have become more and more acquainted with just how disingenuous not just the SPLC, but the mainstream media at large is. And, the vernacular of today, of course, being fake news, and both sides try to utilize the term, but we know which end of the political spectrum to which it has stuck overall. More and more people are seeing through this technique of just slapping a label on someone, attacking the messenger to discredit the message. Do you feel that over the years the SPLC's agenda against you has borne much fruit?
Well, yes, negative and positive. The negative is kind of what I've already explained. I've lived under the cloud of these accusations spawned by the SPLC for all of these years. Like I said, everywhere I go and when I speak, and there are reporters present, newspaper reporters and local television reporters, etc., almost without exception, they will bring up an accusation or two of the SPLC against me. So then I have to, you know, once again, set the record straight and you know, tell the truth about it. But they, you know, I find that so many of them, they're not all this way. There's some good reporters out there and editors that try to be fair and objective in their news reporting, but for the most part, they seem to have a political agenda, and it doesn't really matter what you say. You know, they're going to stick with the SPLC accusation to, you know, put that Gilfi Association idea in the news stories they write, and so forth. So, you know, that's the negative. I mean, you can imagine everywhere you go, you've got somebody asking you about some SPLC accusation that has absolutely no basis of truth whatsoever. And anybody, you know, with about 10 minutes of investigation could easily see, you know, the falsehood of all this and see the truth. That's the downside. The upside is that, you know, the lot of people out there who appreciate the truth and know the truth and love the truth and appreciate the people that are willing to speak the truth, when they hear about these attacks against me, it actually increases the support from many people around the country for what I'm doing. So, you know, every time the SPLC has attacked me, while it's done a lot of damage in the media circles, in terms of, you know, the average people across the country, it makes me more known among them. You know, people will find out about me that didn't know about me before, and they will come and check me out, and then they'll realize, you know, wow, this guy's preaching the truth, that he's for the Constitution and founding fathers, and, you know, and then they begin to listen and watch and support. So it's always a mixed bag. You know, I'm sure the positive elements of the situation are not what the SPLC desired, but it is there. So every time they attack, there are people that find out about it and then will start supporting us.
Mm. Yeah, to a great many just average red-blooded Americans, not even people who are veterans of the liberty movement such as yourself, it's a badge of honor and a mark of credibility even to be attacked by such an openly leftist organization as that these days. Now, anyone who is familiar with the Christian faith, of course you're a Christian pastor, who has studied it for very long knows that truth is actually a centerpiece of Christian religion, not just, you know, as an abstraction, but the questing after and the knowledge of and the fluency in truth. It's just openly taught in Scripture as something that's a prerequisite for Christian people. How does it strike you as a Christian pastor to see an organization like this exalted and lended so much credence by the establishment, as it attacks and slanders a pastor like yourself who's promoting traditional American values and traditional American Christian principles, while pastors like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, who most agree are genuine hate mongers and genuinely divisive figures in America, are put up on a pedestal and given a free hand?
Well, obviously, what it just shows the biased agenda of the SPLC, and I think that's what has become the most obvious. The SPLC has a very prejudiced agenda. People that, you know, they deem to be outside their political persuasion are targeted for destruction, and people that favor their political ideology, of course, they're given a pass. So it's also, I think, it helps to spotlight the agenda of the media, because the media will follow in lockstep with this kind of prejudice and biased reporting. And I think that's what the American people are beginning to wake up to, which is what you just said. And I think that's, of course, had a lot to do with the election of Donald Trump back in last year. But I think the underlying answer to your question is what it says is, you know, this is a very biased prejudiced organization that is not interested in any shape, matter, or form, in truth or honesty, but it has a definite political agenda, and it's basically it's the politics of destruction, as has been said by others before, but in this case, I think it does apply. They try to destroy the reputations, the honor, the character of individuals that they deem to be opposite their ideology, and they use their influence as the Southern Poverty Law Center, and until just recently, that influence included direct access to local, state, and federal law enforcement officials. And that gave them a lot of clout. And even though law enforcement personnel have backed up tremendously in giving them that platform, the media still, to this day, looks to the SPLC as some kind of an authority on hate groups and extremist groups and blah, blah, blah. And so they are going to continue to regurgitate these accusations. And so the SPLC knows they have an outlet nationally through the mainstream media.
For those who are sincerely still on the fence, not just the people that are virtue signaling and whatnot, because they are out there. There are some people that are legitimately confused by all of this gaslighting from the mainstream media. Do you feel, or some might say, that the dishonest and disingenuous methods that the SPLC employs, evident in their very long and dubious track record of slandering people such as yourself, a lot of people would say that this should be an indicator to anyone who is sincerely on the fence, like I'm referring to, of who, is being honest and who is being dishonest. Would you agree with that assertion?
Oh, I think there's people that are beginning to see the difference. I mean, for example, where I live in Montana, the Flathead Valley, the minority population of this area is around 3%, 97% white and about 3% minority. That's the makeup of the area in which I live. But our fellowship, where I'm pastor and which I founded back in 2010, has about or over 20% minorities in our congregation. So when they try to identify us and me as being racist, and they do that by implication, associating us with neo-Nazis and white supremacists, et cetera, which that was the problem with the report that came out of the Idaho Statesman, was, they identified us with neo-Nazis, thereby giving everybody the impression that we're a bunch of white supremacists and racists and so forth and so on. And we have a photo up on our website that shows many of the minority folks that attend our fellowship. And they're the ones that wanted to do that, by the way. That wasn't my idea. They came to me and they said, hey, we want to show everybody Liberty Fellowship is not racist in any stretch. And so let's have a photo. And so that was not all of the minority races that come to our fellowship in the photo, but it was just the ones that were there that day when it was taken. But about 20% of many mixed marriages, and we have, white people have adopted black children. We are the most, or at least one of the most racially integrated fellowships in the entire state. When I pastored in Florida, it was the same thing. We were the most, one of the most racially integrated churches down there. Everywhere I've been in 40 years of ministry, I've embraced racial diversity in my church. I think that the gospel is for all people, and we love people no matter where they come from, no matter what their background, not just racially, but any otherwise. So people that watch Liberty Fellowship, or they've seen us, or they know about us and our fellowship, and how racially diverse it is, and how loving we are, and how happy we are as a people together. They realize that the SPLC is just blatantly biased, and and I think, are demonstrating hate mongering in their own way. I think, my opinion is, the real hate mongers here are at the SPLC. But the people, as soon as they recognize, you know, these kind of things, they immediately recognize the falsehood of these erroneous accusations.
Well, Pastor Baldwin, naturally, we could mine the depths of this subject a great deal more, but we are unfortunately running out of time. So I'd like to just ask you one last question in closing, and I think it's something that would be very relevant and pertinent and to anyone who's listening and reading this story, listening to this interview and reading this story with interest. What recourse? I mean, you've been in the trenches for a long time. You're no newbie when it comes to dealing with this kind of opposition from the left. What recourse do you feel that liberty-loving, free-thinking, truth-seeking people in America have against such a well-entrenched and well-funded organization like the SPLC, whose sole purpose seems to be slandering and maligning patriots like yourself, with the intestinal fortitude to buck the system and oppose the leftist takeover and attempted overthrow of our civilization?
Right. Well, obviously, they've got to recognize that the mainstream media in all of its facets is a biased, prejudiced institution that is, deliberately going to lie to them. They're deliberately going to be told dumb truths, and many truths are not going to be given a platform. So I think the first thing is they've got to turn off the mainstream media, turn off the major news, and I don't mean turn it off altogether, but just start realizing that, they're lying to me. This is propaganda. This is not news. They're not giving me facts. They're not giving me truth. They're giving me what they want me to hear, which is their agenda. And so I think they've got to start realizing that this is not where I need to get my news, and I need to start looking at independent news sources. American Free Press has been around for a long time and puts out news that, that other people don't put out. And there's a lot of other publications, and there's other mediums out there, and the independent media that, that are really trying to present a balanced view on what's going on, and do some old-fashioned investigative reporting, which, the mainstream press, for the most part, never does anymore. It's a dead art in that medium, but there's a lot of independent, the technology has advanced to the point, through the internet and so forth, that now, we are able to access information, we're able to disseminate information in a way that we're not able to do so many years ago. The mainstream media had a monopoly on ability to share information. Well, that's not true anymore. And, so I think it's important that people begin looking at independent news and start, learning how to do the research for themselves and not just lazily depending on mainstream media to do their investigating and their reporting and so forth. So, and I think that's happening too. I think there's a lot of people today that have turned off, for the most part, the mainstream media, and they're getting most of their news and information from alternative independent sources. And I think ultimately that's the answer as far as this is concerned.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Pastor Baldwin. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. As we sign off here, feel free to list a website or anything where folks who would like to follow you and your labors in the trenches and learn more about you can get in touch with you.
Sure, thank you very much. And my website is Chuck Baldwin Live. That's all one word. ChuckBaldwinLive.com. There you can access everything, and then including there's a link to our fellowship, which is Liberty Fellowship. They can go online there, and they can see my response to the Idaho newspaper or their biased accusation against us. You can also see the photo of some of the people that go to Liberty Fellowship that we posted. You can just find anything you want about me or my fellowship. ChuckBaldwinLive.com.
All right. Well, thank you once again, Pastor Baldwin. And
okay, Jacob.
We'll sign off with that.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.